Hey guys, are you ready to transform your mind so you can transform your life? Coach Mirna brings you one-on-one coaching and expert guests weekly to help you to grow. Because happiness is the progressive realization of a worthy goal.
Looking for personal growth? Let's do it.
Whether you're a garage entrepreneur or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. So whether you're selling superfood smoothies or offering organic omega-3s, Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform got you covered. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/transform, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/transform to take your business to the next level today.
As someone who has textured and curly hair, I'm excited to share Clairol's Textures and Tones, came out with a permanent color specifically for curly hair types. Say hello to the improved formula and new look while preserving curls and shine. With Clairol Textures and Tones, you get brilliant color plus moisturized hair. Permanent color that maintains your curl definition and shine. Moisture-rich formula pumped with argan and olive oil, plus zero ammonia. It's not the hair color you were born with, but the hair color you were meant to be. Clairol, it's so me. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio podcast and television show. I'm your host, Life Coach Renee Young, and sitting in the guest chair today is Shelly Lefko. Shelly and I are going to be talking on the topic, how to stop negative self-talk at its source. You know, the mind is an interesting thing. It always spins things. And a lot of times you have to be conscious of how to stop the negative talk and how to stop the mind from repeating things and all that. So yeah, that's a very important conversation because Shelly is going to talk to us about how to stop that from its source because we all have it. And when, you know, it usually plays on repeat. So welcome, Shelly.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Myrna.
You're very welcome. All right. So let me give you guys a brief introduction. For the past 30 years, Shelly has been helping people free themselves of unwanted behavior and emotional patterns. Shelly believes that information and motivation isn't enough to help people change when change is hard. So what does? The answer? Finding our hidden beliefs and then changing them. Shelly's approach is called the Lefko Method and has impacted over 200,000 people worldwide, resulting in lasting change in long-standing issues. People often say that her approach was the first one that worked for them after they have tried everything else. Yes, it's true. Listen, I know that the mind is something that's it's very hard to control. So the first question, Shelly, that I want to ask you is, can you share your personal experience with unwanted behavior and emotional patterns? What is your backstory and how did you get to this niche?
Yeah. So my late husband was on what he called a spiritual intellectual journey to discover why people knew what to do and didn't do it. So we all know if we eat healthily and we exercise, we're going to live better quality, longer lives. And a lot of us don't do it. He also wanted to know why people know what not to do and still do it. People use drugs. People get into relationships going in that they know are not good relationships and then stay in them. So, you know, when you say to somebody, you know, you really don't want to do that. I know. I'm going to stop. You know, I know. So he was fascinated with why that was so. And in his own life, he noticed things were supposed to turn out and they would never turn out. They just, something would happen. So he was on a plane going to California, and he was journaling and trying to figure this out. And he was brilliant. Now, he, of course, was very humble. So he said he downloaded this process. I say he created it. And he started writing. And what he came up with, Myrna, was 35 years ago, unheard of. Today, everybody knows it's true, which is that our beliefs about ourselves and life, most of which are unconscious, totally determine our behavior, our emotions, and ultimately our reality. So he came up with this process. He came home. He did it, by the way, with the people in California who he was pitching. They were looking for a motivational person to do trainings with unemployed people to get them back to work. And he did the process on the people, and they hired him on the spot. And he came home, and he showed me the process. He worked with a friend of ours, and he asked her what her issue was. And she said, well, I'm divorced, and I'd like to get married again. And she said, I'm meeting the wrong men and all the time. And he said, well, what do you think you believe? And he said, finish the sentence, men are. And she said, selfish, men are stupid, men only care about themselves, you know, marriage is suffocating. And she had all these beliefs. And he picked one and he eliminated it with her. And I sat there, Myrna, and spirit knocked me across my head. And I literally almost fell off the chair. And I said, oh my God, that's why I'm on this planet. I am here to do that. It was such a powerful experience. And I've been doing it for 35 years.
Wow. It's really interesting. One of the reasons I love spirit, you've mentioned that, love the universe, love the Holy Spirit, is because there is not one time that I wasn't aware of something like a day or two before I talked to someone, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Because just yesterday, I was talking to my daughter and my son-in-law, who is overweight, but can't seem to do the things that he's supposed to do. And she mentioned that he started therapy. And I said to him, well, when you go to the therapist, you've got to talk about your childhood trauma. He says, I had childhood trauma. I says, the way you're showing up right now in this world is because of some kind of trauma, even though you don't understand or you don't know what it is. Because there's so many things that you're showing up as. But, you know, you just talked about, it's not only childhood trauma, but I guess childhood trauma could also lead to your beliefs. But
so, yes.
It's true. Go ahead.
Yeah. So let me talk about a couple things. So first of all, you asked me about my journey, which I'll tell you in a second. But for everybody listening, I had a very wonderful childhood. I was blessed beyond blessed. And I don't feel that I had what I would call trauma. But what happens to us is we come into this world as little balls of consciousness, and we don't know anything about ourselves, life, people, the world, money. And we show up in this little family. And it could be a mom and a dad, or a mom and a mom, or a single mom, or a dad, whatever configuration. And it doesn't matter if you were Black or white or Jewish or Catholic. It doesn't matter, because what you show up in, I mean, it matters a lot, because your parents are going to behave a certain way. So we always say it isn't what happens to you that screws you up. It's what you conclude about it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's assume you have parents. In my case, my dad loved me, and he adored me. And yet he was critical. So he would say things like, you don't think, or you just don't use your head. Or why can't you be like Nina, my cousin? Nina studies all the time and she gets such good grades. You know, you're the social one. Well, I started concluding, well, I guess I'm not good enough. I don't measure up to Nina. I don't measure up to my dad's standards. I'm not good enough. And then I had a mom who loved and adored me and wanted me to be popular and included and invited. So I concluded what makes me good enough is having other people think well of me. You know, she would say things like, oh, they're all wearing their hair short, you know, whoever they are. They're all wearing, you know, this, so they're all doing that. Mm. And so that belief, circling back to your question, what makes me good enough is having other people think well of me and being included and invited ran my life. So if I wasn't invited to a party, it was like, oh God, what's wrong with me? I'm not good enough. There's something wrong. And when I got rid of those beliefs, I became my authentic self. So I spoke in Croatia in front of 600 people. I'm very clear, not everybody's going to like me. I am not everybody's cup of tea. And that's okay. Now, it's not that I don't care what people think. For a lot of times, I don't. But it no longer defines me. So if somebody doesn't think well of me or somebody doesn't like me, you know, I might not care. I might be sad. I might care. But it doesn't mean anything about me anymore. That's the difference. So there's a freedom in that. But I just wanted to underline one last thing. If you get criticized by your parents, generally you conclude I'm not good enough. If you don't get attention, you conclude I'm not important. If you don't get kisses and hugs, you conclude I'm not lovable. If they're complaining about money, you conclude money is scarce and hard to get. If they're struggling and unhappy and miserable, you might conclude life is hard. And these beliefs stay with us, and we'll talk a little later about why they stay with us and why they're so powerful. But that's how beliefs are formed. So it's not necessarily trauma, and it could be. My favorite population of people to work with is sexual abuse survivors. Mm-hmm. Because I can get them free faster than they could ever, ever imagine.
Wow. Yes. That's pretty powerful. You know, when I first got introduced to the suggestion that whatever we are is because of our parents, you know, I didn't believe it. I'm thinking, oh, that's just an excuse. You know, they interview people in prison and they blame their mom and their dad and all that. And I said, that's just an excuse. But I will tell you, the longer I do this work, I know it always traces back to that. So thank you for giving that clarification, because, you know, we kind of associate trauma with abuse, abandonment, or any of those things. Mm-hmm. But you said, you know, your parents can love you and adore you. And even spoil you, right?
And exactly.
You come out of the other end with something that makes you show up in a certain way. You know, like lazy and entitled.
Entitled. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. People should take care of me. I deserve to have whatever I want. Yeah, it does not bode well. That's why I lead parenting workshops. I have a parenting course, I should say.
Right. So, yes, always goes back to that. So, that's really important. Now, so let me ask you, for somebody, I know you have the LEFCO method that we're going to get into, but let's go back to somebody that's, you know, that's listening and want to take something away from this. So, we've just identified several areas where we could be showing up in life based on our beliefs and our, you know, the home or the environment we're brought up in. So let's say, talking about what I just introduced, you know that you should exercise and eat right because you're overweight and you're starting to have health issues, but you're not motivated or you don't want to do it. So what is something that you can say to somebody right now that's listening on that?
Yeah. So I'm not a big tips girl. I do have a little tool I can give you at the end, which is very powerful to get rid of a negative emotion in the moment. But my work particularly only works when somebody wants to change. I'm not a motivator. So I just wrote a book called Hitting the Wall. And in the book, I talk a lot about watering all the plants.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. This allergy season has been tough for me. The pollen number was the highest it's been in over 3 years. My nose was stuffed up, then it was running. I had the awful nasal drip in my throat and the sneezing. I was miserable. Luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. If you are ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Remember, use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Usually, improvements don't come overnight, but once in a while, one small fix can catapult you to the next level. If your commerce platform is holding your business back, you owe it to yourself to see what Shopify can do for you. Whether you're a garage entrepreneur or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. So whether you're selling satin sheets from Shopify's in-person POS system or offering organic olive oil on Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform, you're covered. And once you've reached your audience, Shopify has the internet's best converting checkout to help you turn them from browsers to buyers. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/transform, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/transform to take your business to the next level today.
So if you look at your life, if you had plants in your house, you would never water just one, right?
That's good. I like
that. The rest would just keel over and die, or they would be very, they wouldn't be very
high. All at the same time.
True, exactly. True. Exactly. And yet, we have all these plants called our health, our relationships, romantic and parenting, and friendships. We have career, which is a plant that a lot of people water a lot. We have recreation. You know, I play pickleball every day, pretty much.
Yeah, I hear it's addictive. I understand.
It's the most addictive thing I've ever done in my life. Yes. Totally is. But all of those plants need to be your money plant. So all of those plants need to be watered. And if you look at your life, and I would say to somebody who doesn't want to get off the couch, when you get to the end of your life and you look back on it, do you want to say, wow, that was awesome. I was healthy, and I got up this morning and I was lifting weights and doing yoga. And, you know, I mean, I feel alive and vibrant. That's important. my relationships. You know, tonight's Passover. I'm going to be with all my friends and we're going to have a great time together. And that is very, very important to me. And my work, I get up every day and I love what I do and it nourishes me. So do you want to look back at your life and go, yes, my relationship with my kids is the best. I'm going to Hawaii in 2 weeks where my daughter lives. I just came back from Utah where my other daughter lives, right? So watering all the plants is really important so that you can look at your life and say, that was a life worth living. I made a contribution. I made a difference in people's lives. And laying on the couch, you're going to turn around and look at your life and go, what was that?
You let it pass you by. Yeah, you didn't do anything. You know what? I'm going to borrow that one. That is so good that I'm going to use it.
Okay. And I want to just share one thing that you said, which is so interesting that you said it about prisoners. So I always say your beliefs don't come from your parents. They come from what you concluded about what your parents said and did. Because if it came from them, you're screwed. You can't do anything about it. If it came from you, now we can get rid of it. So we did a prison study where we produced statistically significant behavior changes in 15 weeks with incarcerated men. And I'm going to tell you fascinating about prisoners. So there was a wife beater. And my husband said, what do you believe that has you beat women? And he said, when you do something, it makes me cry. When you do something wrong, you deserve to be punished. And the way to be punished is to beat. That's what happened to him when he was a kid. He said, it never occurred to me to not do that. I believed she deserved it. He got rid of that belief. The other one came to my house for dinner when he got out, and he was so sweet with my daughter. And I said, it's in my husband's book. And I said, Chris, how did you shoot people? So he never killed anybody, but he shot people. And he said, because when I was a kid, my father told me, if somebody gets in your face and razzes you in the hood and you don't shoot them, you're going to lose respect.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So he said to me, he said, Shelley, I shot somebody over a $5 bill. He said, after I worked with Morty, I went to see my father in jail. And I told him the story about how I got rid of these beliefs. And my father said, son, I was wrong. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Gangs think that respect is the biggest thing. And that's why they shoot people. And that's why they kill.
That's it. Yeah.
I didn't think it ever came from your parents. I thought it comes from the other gang members. But wow. But you know, right? Gangs screw up a lot of kids because, you know, they keep saying all the time that there's no manual. You do the best that you can. And
that's why I created a manual.
It's a very important conversation. Yeah. I love everything about it because awareness is important. You know, just, I have a year old grandbaby and I was listening to a podcast the other day with Daniel Amen. And he is the well-known psychologist and psychiatrist. And he was talking about how you give your kids, brain health, right? And I said, you guys need to watch that so you don't mess up that kid.
Here's the thing. Tell your kids this. Everybody who has a kid that's little, listen to what I'm saying. This is the best skill you'll ever have in your life. Okay. Anytime your child walks away from you, stop and ask yourself, what did they just conclude out of this interaction? Mm-hmm. Did they walk away saying, I'm stupid, I'm an idiot? Or did they walk away saying, mistakes and failures are learning opportunities?
I love that. I love that. Because, yeah, that circles back to is not what you think you're saying, but is what they're getting out of it or
yes.
what their interpretation is.
So that's, yes.
Yeah. Listen.
Yeah.
Just love your kids and kiss them all the time, and they'll teach them anything. That is really important. Or teaching them things that you don't really know, think that you're teaching them. So that's great. Oh, wow, we got off to a rocking start, Shelley. That's beautiful. Thanks. So let's get to our topic, the negative self-talk, because that is basically, you know, what we're talking about. But we, you know, we're started off with beliefs. So where does negative self-talk come from, and how do we stop it at its source?
Awesome. So negative self-talk, I just had a huge insight in my work.
Okay.
Okay. So
yes,
negative self-talk comes from meaning. And meaning, which we say, mostly comes from beliefs. So I'm going to explain. I'm going to give you a couple of distinctions. Beliefs are a statement about reality that you hold as the truth. You may know they're silly. You may know that's not true. I've worked with Harvard PhDs who had the belief I'm stupid. So beliefs are a statement about reality that we hold as the truth. Meaning is what you know for sure because something happens. Somebody just, I don't know how to do this. The meaning you give, I don't know how to do this, is I'm stupid.
Yeah.
That's your negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. Okay. Somebody walks by and ignores you, and the meaning you give it is I'm not important. That's your negative self-talk.
Or I'm not attractive.
I'm not attractive. A guy doesn't ask me out. I'm not attractive. So your negative self-talk comes from the meaning we give events. Okay? I'm going to blow your minds in a minute. Beliefs determine the meaning. So let's assume you believe that failure is how you learn, like Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. You can't be successful without failing. Any person, there are 400 books written about this, right? So you believe that failure is how you learn. So now you do something and it fails, and you say to yourself, okay, what do I learn here? No negative self-talk. But if you believe, as most of us do, mistakes and failures are bad because we got yelled at as kids when we made them, and we got red X's in school.
Papers, right?
Which is why I am not for traditional education. You take a test, you have 100 questions, you get 97 right, and all you see are three red X's.
Right.
So if you believe mistakes and failures are bad, and now I make a mistake or fail, the meaning I give it is I'm a loser, I'm stupid, and that's the negative self-talk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, in order to eliminate beliefs, you have to go to eliminatebeliefs.com, and you can eliminate a belief for free, and you'll see how to do it. And there's a program with 19 self-esteem beliefs that you can purchase. It's very inexpensive. We make it available to people. Okay. You don't have to work with me. So you can do that to eliminate beliefs. So I can't say to you, here's what to do to eliminate a belief. Doesn't work like that. We have trainings. We teach people how to do it. But what I can teach you is, and this is what's going to blow your minds. So I'll walk you into this. If you're in a room, everybody do this with me, and somebody you know comes in and doesn't speak to you, what might you automatically think?
A person doesn't like me.
They don't like me. So everybody who I asked that question to came up with a different answer. I did something wrong. They're rude. They're preoccupied. They're distracted. They didn't see me. So everybody had a different answer, right? But where did they don't like me come from?
Yeah.
Where did it come from?
Yes, it is a personal experience because...
No. Where did it come from? Where did they don't like me? I said, well, if somebody walks by, doesn't say hello, what do you think? You said, I think they don't like me. So where did they don't like me come from?
Well, I was just explaining my personal experience with maybe people not liking me. I don't know. No?
It came from your mind.
Right. Right. Of course.
They don't like me. They're rude. They're distracted. All meaning comes from your mind. Everybody overcomplicates it. It doesn't come from your experience because five people could have the same experience and come up with five different meanings.
Right.
Meaning comes from your mind. If meaning is inside your head, do events have inherent meaning?
As someone who has textured and curly hair, I'm excited to share Clairol's Textures and Tones came out with a permanent color specifically for curly hair types. Say hello to the improved formula and new look while preserving curls and shine. Clairol Textures and Tone comes in 12 upgraded texture-loving shades. I love the 1B Natural Black. Clairol also makes you feel proud to be able to transform your hair yourself at home, saving you time and money from expensive salon treatments. A few years ago, I decided to go to the salon for a color, and they charged me $70. I never went again. Clairol makes you feel proud to be able to transform your hair yourself at home. Their mission is to make every woman feel beautiful and confident and help her live colorfully through accessible, easy-to-use products. With Clairol Textures and Tones, you get brilliant color plus moisturized hair, permanent color that makes your curl definition and shine, moisture-rich formula pumped with argan and olive oil and zero ammonia. It's not the hair color you were born with, but the hair color you were meant to be. Clairol, it's so me.
Okay. Yeah. Do events have meaning?
Oh, yeah. Events have meaning because
records. Do events have inherent meaning? Do events have meaning before you give it meaning?
No.
So listen, everyone. Events have no meaning. That's not to say it doesn't matter. My husband died. That mattered. That was devastating. I miss him every day. Okay? So that he died had consequences also. But it doesn't mean anything. And another way of saying that is we don't know anything for sure because something happened. So the fact that he died, does it mean I'll never be happy again?
No.
No. Does it mean I'm going to starve to death?
No.
No. In fact, when he died, listen, everyone, I didn't know the difference between a P&L and a balance sheet. I am a people person. Put Oprah in front of me, I will transform her life. That is what I do. And I do it well. Run a business? Yikes. Are you kidding? So I got up one morning. I didn't want to get out of bed. And I said, what happened? Morty died. What meaning did I give it? I'm going to starve to death. What else could it mean? It could mean I'm going to step up and triple the business. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't say that. I said, I'm going to step up and take it on.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he died has no inherent meaning. I don't know anything for sure because it happened. The fact that your business failed has no meaning. It doesn't tell us anything about you or the future. So all of your emotions come from the meaning that you give these events. And the meaning comes from our beliefs. That's why we want to get rid of beliefs. So we stop all the self-talk because you stop giving meaning to events. My brother has a habit of saying things like, oh, that's stupid, or you're whatever, you know. And I used to get angry and scream and yell. And then I got rid of the belief, what makes me good enough is having other people think well of me. And I don't need his approval anymore. So he says the same things. I don't give it any meaning. And I don't get upset. He says what he says.
It's true. It's
freedom.
Yes. This plays out a lot in relationships because, you know, in relationships, you're always giving things meaning. You know, your husband comes home, he doesn't say anything to you. And you, or, you know what I mean? It's, you all give it meaning. And then you attach your behavior to this meaning. And then he attaches his behavior to what you did, and it spirals around. And but yeah, it's, you know, I have learned that exactly what you're saying is that the mind is not real. When I say that to say that a lot of times, you know, for instance, I can be sitting and a thought comes into my mind. I called my husband, he didn't answer his phone, and my thoughts go to something and then I get all upset. And then I say to myself, I mean, I did, you know, this is something I picked up by, you know, this reading books. I think it was Eckhart Tolle that says that, you know, look at what's in front of you because your mind is creating all this stuff. And if you look at what's exactly in front of you, then you wouldn't worry about what your mind is creating. So that is very good when you know.
Yeah, but I want to take it a step further, Myrna. I love where you went with this, right? So the event is real. The meaning is not, okay? So you call your husband, he doesn't answer the phone. If you look at what's in front of you, like Eckhart Tolle says, which is great, it's not that you're not going to worry about what's in your mind. What I'm saying is if you dissolve the meaning you're giving it, there will be nothing in your mind. So I love the topic. I love the title, Get Rid of Your Self-Talk, because, again, you say, oh, God, he's having an affair. Now I'm crazed, you know, and then you say, you know, he's in the bathroom. You know, he didn't take his phone into the bathroom, or he's doing something. But the fact that he didn't answer the phone has no inherent meaning. I don't know anything for sure.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Right.
Meaning is made up. Even if somebody thinks they know, oh, I don't like you because you remind me of my mother. And I say, that's not why you don't like me. You don't like me because somebody with red hair once dumped you, and they go, oh, my God, I never thought of that.
That's true.
Yeah, that could be it. Meaning is made up. We don't know why we do things, so we make up meaning. But when you can dissolve it by getting the meanings in your mind, it's not in the events, you can get rid of the emotion.
Yeah, that's good. That's
but ultimately, you want to eliminate your beliefs because the beliefs are going to run the show.
Yeah.
They're going
to keep beliefs
running.
The meaning that you put to, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Like if I come into a relationship and I think men are cheaters, then every time my husband answers his phone, I'm going to think that's true.
Perfect. Brilliant. Oh, That was brilliant, because a lot of times when I talk about this, there's so many pieces that people start putting them together weirdly, but you just did it perfectly. I have a belief men cheat. Now I go in the relationship, I call my husband, he doesn't answer the phone. The meaning I give it is he's cheating. Brilliant.
I've been there. That's why I got that so quickly.
That's great.
Yeah, so all right.
Oh, go ahead. I want to do one last thing. Eliminating beliefs is a means to an end. The end is what you asked me at the beginning. How do you get people motivated? I don't know. But what I do know is when people come to me and they say, I procrastinate, I get into relationships that I shouldn't be in, I don't speak up for myself, I have anxiety all the time, I'm depressed,
right?
We want to get rid of the beliefs that cause those patterns.
Yes. Yes.
And the difference between a pattern and a belief is a pattern is observable. Beliefs are not.
Yes. Yeah, that's why coaching is powerful, because that's exactly what a coach does. Look at your patterns, because you've got a blind spot and you don't see them. So that's good. That's awesome. All right. So yeah, this conversation has been spectacular. I learned so much, and I know that you guys are listening with bated breath, because this is good stuff. So, but Shelley, so you have created something that's called the LEFCO method. You said it came from your husband. So you want to talk to us about that?
Yes. Yeah. So when you go through and I'm going to give you an opportunity to go through this for free. And we also have it in my book, Hitting the Wall, Eliminate the Beliefs That Sabotage Your Business and Your Life. The process is in there as well. But I'm going to send you to something where you can do it, where somebody takes you through it in a video. So the first step is, what do you want to change? And then we come up with a belief. Now there's a few beliefs underneath every pattern. There's many. There's not one. But we start with, I'm not good enough, with most people, right?
99%. It's a big number.
Only for credibility, I'd say 100. But let's say 99% of people have. I'm not good enough, right? And then we have beliefs like, what makes me good enough? And these are what we call survival strategy beliefs. What makes me good enough is achieving things.
Mm-hmm.
Now I become a workaholic because I'm not good enough is coming up in my face, right? And I got to hold that sucker underwater. So what makes me good enough is achieving things. As long as I'm achieving things, that beach ball stays underwater. So I have clients who are wildly successful on the cover of magazines, and they still have the belief, I'm not good enough, right? So they have to keep proving that they are. If you're the oldest in a big family, you might have the belief, what makes me good enough is taking care of people. So you become a caretaker or a nurse. You know, what makes me good enough is having other people think well of me. Now, all of a sudden, you have to keep pleasing people and like that. So the first step is, where did the belief come from? Right. And we make people, when you say a belief out loud, so everybody take a deep breath. Say, I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough.
Now say, I'm a monkey.
I'm a monkey.
So when you say, I'm a monkey, it feels silly.
Right.
Then you said, I'm not good enough. If it felt anything other than like just words, if it felt sad or you didn't want to say it or it didn't feel good to say, then you know you have the belief, because I'm not good enough at just words. Mm-hmm. So when you have a belief, you know it because it doesn't feel good to say it. Okay. Right. Then we ask, where did the belief come from? What's the source of the belief? And with self-esteem.
Most people don't know that. So you ask them that question?
Yeah, I mean, I help people realize it, of course, but self-esteem beliefs come from parents, right? So where did the belief come from? Came from being criticized by my father all the time. Okay. Then we look at, what are some other interpretations? And then we look at, well, it could mean you weren't good enough as a kid, doesn't mean you'll never be good enough. And it could mean that your father thought you weren't good enough. It doesn't mean you're not. And it could mean your father had lousy parenting skills and didn't know how to empower you, but he didn't think you weren't good enough. Or maybe he thought you were so good, he thought you could do everything. Mm-hmm. So we brainstorm a few other interpretations. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest question is, doesn't it seem like you saw I'm not good enough? And every single person, I have clients in Uganda, I have a client in Saudi Arabia, every single client said, well, I did see it. My Harvard PhD said, I saw I'm stupid. Now, here's the biggest bang, okay? Anything you could see has a color, shape, and location. So if you're listening, I'm holding up my water bottle, and it's pink, and it has a color, shape, and location.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You cannot see I'm not good enough. You can see your father saying you're stupid, or you don't know what you're talking about, or why can't you be like Nina, or comparing you to your sibling, or you can see behavior. And when I ask people, what did you see? They always say, I saw people. No, 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 no. People is 9 billion. You saw one person or two people criticizing you, ignoring you, beating you, raping you, whatever you saw one or two or three people doing it.
Right.
You saw certain events at a certain time at a certain place. Where was I'm not good enough? I made that up.
Your interpretation.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. It was my interpretation, right. Just like Santa Claus.
Right. It's not real.
Exactly. The minute you get, mm-hmm. Wait a minute, that's not Santa Claus.
Right.
I made that up. That belief goes away and never, ever comes back after 8 years of having it.
That's good.
So when I worked with my mother, she was in her 70s, and she completely changed, right? I'm not capable, because what we said at the beginning, she had a mother who, like me, who did everything for us. Right. Very loving, not trauma. That belief got in my way when things were hard for me. I didn't do it. I staffed it out. I asked somebody else. But when I got rid of the belief I'm not capable, and I lived in New York City by myself for 9 years, I was pretty capable. But it came up when things were hard for me. And I got rid of that belief. It was a game changer, right? So when you get, I never saw I'm not capable, I just saw my mother doing things for me.
Right.
But I made that up.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Then we do.
I'm thinking of people in my head that I know personally. And this is very deep. This is very deep. Loving it. Yeah.
And it's very, my husband used to say, very useful distinctions, because when you get, I never saw that belief, I never saw I'm damaged goods. I just saw what my dad did to me. I made that up. Then we take it to that last step of what does it really mean? What do I know for sure? Because you were criticized as a child. And the answer is nothing. It has no inherent meaning. It doesn't tell me anything about you. I have a client failed at school.
Criticizing you at that moment. Yeah, it doesn't mean you're going to take it 40 years into the future. Right, yes.
It doesn't have any meaning, right?
Hmm.
So there are people I work with who did terribly in school, almost failed out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And they became incredibly wealthy because the belief they concluded is, I'm going to show you, right?
Yeah, yeah. It happens. Yes. Yes. You know, I was just listening to an interview with Les Brown. And, you know, he's, you know, one of the number one motivational speakers and have a great, but his story is that his teacher told him that he was stupid. And he said, I'll show her.
Lisa Nichols.
Yes. Yes. So, right. So that is amazing. Listen, I heard so much from you today, Shelley. And yes, you know, I love doing the work. I love doing the work of myself, and I love doing the work of the people that are, you know, close to me and trying to help them uncover these things. So I find this information very useful. So I will definitely, you know, work on some of the issues and work on some of the things that you brought up. But yeah, so tell our listeners, how they can connect with you and how they can get in touch with, you know, to hire you. This is a coaching session, I'm assuming, right? Or is this in your book?
Yeah. I don't call it. It's a facilitation session. I don't call it coaching, but yes.
Okay. All right.
So there's a couple of things. So if you go to eliminatebeliefs.com, you can eliminate a belief for free. And that will take you to the Natural Confidence Program, where you can eliminate 19 beliefs on your own. And that's, as I said, very, very reasonably priced. If you want to work with me, you go to lefkoinstitute.com. It's my website. And you'll see something that says book a session, and it'll explain how that goes. And if you want, you can buy my book, Von Upremian, my book, Hitting the Wall, Eliminate the Beliefs That Sabotage Your Business and Your Life, on Amazon. And those are the three things you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, you know, I love when you said, when you get to the end of your life, you know, I love that. It's one of the things I do in my coaching sessions, you know, I mean, people can do it on their deathbed. They can do it when they're 80 and they're sitting in a rocking chair and they're, the most of their life has passed them by. But yeah, and what is it you're going to be looking at if you just, right, sit on the couch and doing anything about your health? And I love what you said earlier. I pick up on everything. I'm a good listener. You kick a ball and you exercise. And you know something? That's why I do all those things myself, you know, because I want to have a good health span. And a lot of people don't, you know, think about that. They just don't have the energy maybe to get up and do things for themselves.
It's the belief. I have a very strong belief, Myrna. Mm-hmm. If I'm on this planet, I want to be able to live a full life. And my belief is that exercise keeps you young, fit, and healthy.
That's my belief too.
Isn't that interesting?
And you do what? Man, I don't want to live to 90 in a bed.
Wait, exactly.
Just got a different twist.
Exactly. It's this. When I go to Hawaii and my daughter says, "Do you want to go on a hike?" I don't say how high, how far, how long. I just say yes. And yes, that's exactly, I want to live to 110 and I want to drop dead at the gym or on a pickleball court. I used to stay at the gym. Now I want to drop dead on the pickleball court at 110.
But I love it. Hey, we are in up and same mind. And so
totally, yeah,
you know, yes, that's a very good thing to do though, you know, to have people. When it's passed them by and they don't have any choice but to look back and reflect, you know, what are you going to say? Now that you have the opportunity, get off the couch and do something. But where I was going with it, it's not just physical health. it's mental and emotional health too, because that actually drives your physical health. So yes, understanding what beliefs are keeping you stuck, what beliefs are making you not motivated, you know, and then when you have an interpretation of something that your mind has conjured up, then you ask yourself,
What meaning did I give the events?
Right.
And then just get that the event is the meaning is in your mind. It's not in the event.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just sort of summarize. So this is pretty good. I love our conversation. Thank you so much, Shelley.
You're so welcome.
I love the spirited informational sessions, and this was one of them. Do you have social media handles? Are you in social media?
Yeah, I am. Just Shelley. Most of them are just Shelley Lefko, you know. Shelley Lefko, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So listen, guys, I will have a transcript of my conversation with Shelley on the show page, which is myhelps.us. I will link out to her at theeliminatebeliefs.com. I will link out to the LefkoInstitute.com, her book, Hitting the Wall, and also her social media handles so that you can continue this conversation with Shelley, because this is just an introduction, something to create awareness. You know, if you want to do the work, then you have to do the work. What was that?
Yeah. It makes sense. And it's fast. What I love about my work, you know, I have, God bless people who want to sit in therapy and talk for 15 years. It's not how I want to spend my life. So our work is fast, powerful, and permanent.
Love that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. If you can eliminate the beliefs, then everything changes.
Everything.
That is the foundation, right?
It is. So
that's perfect.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. I enjoy this conversation from the very get-go. Love it. You know, I took away some nuggets myself. You know?
What?
So thank you very much. Listen, thank you guys for tuning in to the Transform Your Mind and Transform Your Life. Hey, this was a transformational conversation today, and I hope that you will run with it and help you to transform your life. So it's no point sitting on knowledge. You've got to do something about it, right? Knowledge is only power when you use it. So pick up Shelley's book if that's the only thing you want to do. I heard someone say the other day that their book was only $20. So you can learn, you don't have to go take her classes or a course. You can start by just picking up a copy of her book and, starting there, doing something to improve the quality of your life. So thank you guys for tuning in. If you're listening to this on iTunes, we'd love for you to, hit the subscribe button and, give a rating. If you're watching this on YouTube, would love for you to subscribe. And there's also, make a comment or something. Interact. So, Shelley, as we wrap up, any last words?
I told my kids, life is like a yardstick. Most people play somewhere in the first 2 feet, 11 3/4 inches. What life is about is that last quarter of an inch.
That's good.
This is your life. Take it on.
Plant analogy better. I'm going to choose that one. That was beautiful. But you play all out in life. You know, I definitely agree.
Yeah.
Yes, you play all out in life. Don't just do a little bit of it. You know what I mean? Do the whole thing.
Take your life on.
Yeah. When you get to the end, you will say, I have lived a good life. I've run a good race. You know, like Paul says. Yes. All right, guys. Listen, thanks again for tuning in. Thank you, Shelley. And until next time, namaste.
Namaste.
Ah. Okay. Thank you.
Bye. Bye, everybody. Bye.